Brothers and sisters, good morning. Let's pray. Next week, our church will be celebrating Christmas.
圣诞是纪念了咱的上帝差派伊的独生子来，互咱做最好的礼物。So
we celebrate Christmas because God gave His only Son to give us the best gift.
供给咱最大的需要。
In order to satisfy our greatest need.
咱人人哦有无同的需要。
You know, each person has a different need.
有时咱将甚至将需要甲必要哦多变。
In fact, sometimes we confuse our needs with our wants. Lately, someone asked a group of young people, what is your biggest need? And they answered, a cell phone. Meaning that if they don't have a cell phone, they would die. Would they? Some people would. As if they would die if they didn't hold their cell phone. But it's not true. Truth be told, if you don't have your cell phone right now, you won't die. It would be just difficult. But you wouldn't die. But the true needs of a person, if they're not met, it wouldn't just be difficult. Instead, your life would be in danger. So when we celebrate Christmas, we must remember that God didn't give us what we want, but instead what we needed. What do we need? Our passage today talks about Jesus Christ going to Samaria and talking with a Samaritan woman. He asked for water from the Samaritan woman. But in the end, it was Jesus Christ who gave her living water. Just how important is water? We know that it's important. If we don't drink water for a day, we would be having a hard time. And if we don't drink it for several days, we might die. If you don't drink water for more than 3 days, your life is in peril. But because we live in the Philippines, we don't see the importance of water. We only feel the need, the importance of water when the water utilities company fails to deliver water. But we never experience thirst in the Philippines. Our greatest difficulty is if there is no water, we won't be able to bathe. But it's different in Israel. During the time of Christ in Israel, it's different. They rarely use water to bathe themselves. So they may have an aroma. Because what is more important, using water to drink or using it to bathe themselves? If you have a little amount of water, it would be more important to use it to refresh yourself. You shouldn't compare it with today's Israel. If you go to modern Israel, they have a lot of water. Because they are able to make salt water into drinkable water. This is something they invented. But if you go to the neighboring countries around Israel, lately, we have a group from the church who went to Israel. And we went to two countries. The first one is Israel. And the second one is Jordan. In Jordan, every time you wanted to eat or go out to a restaurant, you have to buy water. But in the Philippines, water is free in the casinos. But in Jordan, a glass of water needs to be bought. It's the same thing in Egypt. You might say that there's water in Egypt through the Nile River. But the Nile River isn't enough. Egypt also has to buy.
Since Egypt
In fact, the water coming from the faucets in Egypt is not good enough to gargle your mouth. I have a relative who lives in Egypt. And they told me that the water they use to brush their teeth has to be bought. Because they've experienced it when they used the tap water to brush their teeth. Their mouth would become infected. Because that place has no water to drink. So when Christ went to Samaria and offered the Samaritan woman living water, that was a very big deal. But before talking about the things that they talked about, let's look at the circumstances
surrounding.
If you pay attention to the passage today, it says that Jesus Christ went to Samaria. It means that Jesus purposely traveled to Samaria. Jesus Christ came from Galilee and plans to go to Jerusalem. But the road that he took purposely went through Samaria. Why would we say that he purposely went through Samaria? There are two reasons. The first one is that our passage earlier tells us so. It tells us that the Jews and the Samaritans had no dealings with each other. They don't only not deal with each other, but rather they're not in good terms. The Samaritans and Jews cannot be mixed. They're enemies. Samaritans are half-bloods. What do we mean by a half-blood? It means that half of the part of them is Jew. Half of their ancestry is Jewish, while the other half is either Assyrian or Babylonian. But they're not good because they're half-bloods. But rather, they cannot get along because there are a lot of things that happened in their history with the Jews. Let me go through this shortly. The first instance is when the Jews came back to Jerusalem. This was the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. When they came back to Jerusalem to rebuild it, the Samaritans did not welcome them. So the Jews were disappointed. And the second, the Jews wanted the Samaritans to worship in Jerusalem. But the Samaritans refused to do so. Furthermore, the Samaritans and the Assyrians even joined forces to fight against the Jews.
And now the
And in fact, in 128 BC, the high priest of the Jews sent soldiers to burn down the temple of the Samaritans. If I have a chance to go to Israel again next time, I'd like to see this place.
이게 성전 ruins 여기야 봐.
The ruins of the temple of Samaria are still there.
이게 메소아 이게 Samaritan temple 여기야.
It's still in their mountain. It's still there.
Ruins of pile of pile.
It's already in ruins, but it's still there.
所以 타이랑 갑사바야 디 역사 이긴 야죄 모차 야죄 모화히의 대지.
So the Jews and the Samaritans have experienced a lot of conflicts in the past.
所以 역한공 인 모라이옹.
So John says that they do not have dealings with each other.
所以猶太人真少，超工那對加利利要行到耶路撒冷，真少加撒瑪利亞，直直連那那邊看，向邊都冇愛看。So
when Jews want to travel from Galilee to Samaria, they very, very rarely go through Samaria.
第二個原因。The
second reason.
刷落去這個 slide 啦，來看。The
next slide.
啊，這是第二。This
is a map.
Geography.
Geography.
咱那記主要說，這是對加利利。
We remember that Christ came from Galilee. And he's going to Jerusalem. If you look at the map, there are three routes that he could take. For those who went to Israel, you should know this. If you don't, then maybe you should go again. The first route is the western route. It's near the sea, so it's called the coastal highway. A lot of people call it the Via Maris. It's a very popular road.
So it's three park or it go西边，行行去西边，然后行落去南.
So from north you would go west and south. And then they would have to climb up to Jerusalem. I believe that if I were Christ, this is the route I would have taken. Because this was the fastest route. Because this was the plains. There weren't rigorous mountains to climb, only a small part. In Christ's time, if you were to take this road, it would only take him half a day to get to Jerusalem. It would just take half a day from Galilee to Jerusalem. So for those who are always in a rush, they would take this route. He could also take the second route. The second route crosses through Jordan. There's also a name for this route. This is called the King's Highway. It's also very popular. And it's even more popular than the first one. Because it has always been there. In fact, when we went last April to Israel, we crossed this road. I remember that it was only me and Brother Tuning who was awake. And I looked at the back of the bus and everyone was sleeping. Everyone was sleeping on the bus. And I was so excited telling Brother Tuning that, look, we are on the King's Highway. But truth be told, there was nothing to see because it was very dark. But I'm very excited because this road is very popular. So some people would go down this route then through Jerusalem. This is also a comfortable route to take. It is a bit warmer though. But Christ didn't take the first or the second route. Rather, he took the third route. And the third route is very easy. It's the one in the middle. But no one takes this route. Why? Because it is the most uncomfortable, inconvenient route to take. Why? Because it is mountainous. You know, someone counted. From Galilee to Sychar in Samaria, Christ had to cross at least 8 mountains.
所以，来到咱今日读圣经，伊来到这个雅各所起的这个井啊，伊讲也吹大也先啊，上啊未先啊，计一八的山，行未先。
So in our passage, when Jesus Christ arrived in Jacob's well, he said he was very tired. And who wouldn't be tired if he had to cross 8 mountains?
所以主耶稣来到这个撒玛利亚找这个撒玛利亚妇人哦，唔是超度感的代志。So
when Christ came and went to the Samaritan woman, it wasn't haphazardly done.
主耶稣来到撒玛利亚这个所在来找这个妇人哦，是计划是挑工的啦。
But rather, Jesus purposely and carefully planned to go to Samaria to meet this woman. Christ went to the Samaritan woman while being tired and being hot. When Christ died on the cross for you and me, it wasn't just a matter of circumstance. In fact, in God's eyes, there were a lot of options to take. In fact, there would be more convenient roads to take. If it was me, I would definitely take the first route. And if the first route was flooded, I'd take the second route. And if the first two routes aren't available for some reason, I'd say, let me take some time. Let me rest in Galilee until the routes open. If I was Jesus, I'd choose another way. I won't choose the cross. Even up to now, the crucifixion in the cross is one of the worst forms that mankind has invented to torture people. Christ purposely planned to die in the cross for you and me. You know, the Catholics, they look highly, they put emphasis on this cross. We always say that our Christ was crucified in the cross. But it isn't normal to be crucified on the cross. Sometimes some people are just wrapped or roped to the cross. And he would die while being bound to the
cross.
So don't think that people die on the cross because of the nails. But rather it's because they are being hanged. They are left alone in the cross. Why does a person die when he is on the cross? You should know. Because this is how Christ died for you and me. How does a person die when he is crucified? Some people say tetanus. No. If it was only tetanus, then they wouldn't let you die so easily. It's easy to die if it's just tetanus. The Romans don't want you to die an easy death. They want to torture you. How does a person die when he is crucified?
Oh, doctor,
it is their inability to breathe.
Suffocation.
They're suffocated. Why are they suffocated? Because their hands. Because they're hanged for such a long time that their body stiffens and they're unable to breathe. Your lungs put on water. We've experienced numbness. For those who play basketball, it hurts. Have you ever had cramps on your chest? When we have cramps in our legs, if someone pushes it, then it gets fixed and it's okay. But for Christ, when he was crucified, no one was going to fix his cramps. So the Roman soldier, when he wanted to know whether Christ has already died, he punctured Christ in the chest, and when water came out, he knew that this was... He knew that this person was about to die because there was water in the lungs. You know that in history, the longest time that the person was on a cross before he died was 2 weeks. But he was a convict. But our Christ was sinless. The only reason why he chose this path of the cross was for you and me. For this Samaritan woman, he crossed the mountains to Samaria. This should move our hearts. Second, the second point is that Christ, though he was weary and tired, went to Samaria not only to ask for water from this woman, but rather to give water to her.
So when
Christ offered living water to the Samaritan woman, she was surprised. They couldn't understand each other. In the Samaritan woman's mind, she was thinking, you don't even have the means to obtain water. And what Jesus was offering was living water. Not stagnant water.
It's not well water.
Not well water.
So it is living water,
In the Samaritan woman's mind, they knew they had a different concept of what living water
is.
Well water is not living water. Well water is stagnant water. So in the end, we see that the Samaritan woman asks, where is this water? But it's interesting that Christ started the conversation by asking for water. But at the end of the conversation, it is a Samaritan woman who is asking Christ where the water is. Because the water that the Samaritans knew was the well water. But the water that Christ offered was not from the well. But rather in verse 14, we see that this living water.
It's spring water.
This is
different.
Later we will discuss the differences between well water and spring water. What Christ needs is water for life. Or water that you drink once. And after you drink it, you will get thirsty. But the water that Christ was offering is living water, one that you will not get thirsty again. The Samaritan woman at first used her visualization of the well water to understand what Christ meant. But Christ was speaking figuratively. He was offering himself as a living water. If the Samaritan or any other Jewish person knew the Bible better, they would know that Christ is the living water.
因为诗篇头先嘛，咱初唱的哦，诗篇四十二篇第一节，安尼讲啊，上帝啊，我的心渴慕你，亲像鹿渴慕水一样。
Because in Psalms 42 it says, as the deer pants for the water, for streams of water, so my soul pants for you.
所以这个人真是要得到满足的时候，就是渴慕上帝啊，亲像渴，亲像一只鹿渴慕水。
So if someone really wants Christ, they would be like the deer panting for water.
甚至在新约启示录第七章十七节。
In fact, in Revelations,
这个是新约，伊讲到什么呢
？And this is in the New Testament. It says,
因为宝座中的羔羊的确牧养因，带因到生命的水的泉源，上帝也的确都赤打因一切的目屎。
For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
So, the
Christ was offering himself to the Samaritan woman. It's true that he was physically thirsty. But what the Samaritan woman truly needed was living water. If she can have the living water of Christ, she would be fulfilled. So this morning, we should ask ourselves, you and I, are we fulfilled? What things make us fulfilled? What is the result of someone being fulfilled? We call ourselves Christians, but what makes us fulfilled is not necessarily Christ. For some people, it's money. For some, it's family. For some, it's business. For others, it's position, career. A career. For others, it's studies. What gives you fulfillment? These are not necessarily bad. The things we said earlier, like money, they're not necessarily bad. But only He can give you fulfillment. If only these give you fulfillment. You know what makes you fulfilled is what you measure your life
with.
It shows how important you look at that
item.
If you think that money will give you fulfillment, then you think that money is very important. And because of this, you will use time to get it. The things that will fulfill us will show us how much importance we place on these things. And the things that will make us fulfill, the things that we treasure, will show us who we serve. In the same way that we can know whether or not we are truly fulfilled in Christ. A person who is truly fulfilled in Christ, he will put in efforts for Christ.
Even
if he were to lose everything, such as things or material wealth, it may disappoint him or hurt him temporarily, but it will not dampen his fulfillment. Because the thing he treasures is not these things. But if our fulfillment is money, when money disappears, people might die. Some people will even go so far as suicide.
Position, education.
Some people's fulfillment comes from their position or their education.
So I have a friend in Facebook.
I had a friend in Facebook who posted.
He was was teaching Old Testament. He's a doctorate in Old Testament in Taiwan.
He was a doctorate in Old Testament in a Taiwanese seminary.
Is he doing well? She. Then now, he talked to his friend.
And she mentioned her friend.
His friend was the Trinity University, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School.
This friend studied for 10 years in Trinity University. She studied
systematic theology.
Systematic theology for 10 years.
Ah. No, LPU. systematic theology si Hae Thong Sin Hak.
And last week she gave her dissertation. And there was a defense of her thesis or dissertation. And she failed.
So did.
Yes, the other day.
Zisat.
She took her own life. Because she thought that that was her life. In the same way, some Christians are like that. Some Christians forget what it is that should be fulfilling them. I have also studied a lot. When I studied my THM, I was very industrious in studying it. My grades were high. If you were to rank it based on the college rankings, I should be a summa cum laude. But when I graduated,
for picture taking.
My teacher only brought me a toga only for picture taking. Just my two teachers and my wife were there for my graduation. If education can give us fulfillment, then a lot of people should already be fulfilled. A lot of people should be very happy. The churches in the U.S. should be very happy. You know that in the U.S. churches, a lot of their members are doctorates. They have doctorates in theology. But nobody wants to hire them. No one wants to engage them. And they're very disappointed. These things are not necessarily bad. But these things cannot fully cover or fill the hole in our hearts. They might give us some satisfaction. But after this temporary satisfaction, it disappears. And then when you go over it again, you get another dose of satisfaction, which then subsequently disappears. So what makes us Christians satisfied? There is nothing else but Christ. Because He is a living God who is able to eternally fill the holes in our hearts. Because we are eternal, there's an eternal hole in our hearts. And only a living, eternal God can fill this hole, this emptiness. That's why Christ told the Samaritan woman that this water that I am giving you will never make you thirsty again. So may Christ be your fulfillment, your satisfaction. But our lesson is not up to that only. There's a last point. If you look at John
4:10,
Jesus Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Then I want us to carefully look at verse 14. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
The picture of well and spring. Yes. Lagi yo, Yasuo lai gao, Samaria, zedi, jingzui.
When Christ arrived in Samaria, he sat at the corner of the well.
Samaria hu din lang lai gao zige shuo zai bei tui zui jing jing zui.
And the Samaritan woman went to the well to draw water.
Zu shuo shu e zui si zhuang zui.
The water that Christ is offering is spring water.
So it's so gang say somebody who din lang gong go be ho di is wa zui. Somebody who din lang tui tio is zuan zui.
So when Christ offered living water to the Samaritan woman thought that he was offering her spring water.
So it you mang somebody who din lang to mang zui ya so gong, he get zui di dollar.
So the Samaritan woman asked Jesus, where did you find this water? Where can I find this water? Truth be told, there was no spring in that area. There was only Jacob's well. So why did Christ say that he was offering her spring water? What's the difference between water from a well and water from a spring? To give you an example, let's say a person bought a piece of land. And in that land, there was a well. He doesn't want the well. What would he do? He would get dirt and cover it over the well. And he would sleep. And when he wakes up tomorrow morning, the dirt would still be there and the well would be gone. But if the same person bought a piece of land, and the land had a spring, he doesn't want the spring, what would he do? He brings in dirt, covers the spring with dirt, then he goes to sleep. The next day, his house would be flooded. Because spring water will find another route. Men cannot stop spring water. Christ says that if we have him, as a, like a spring water, In verse 14, Jesus Christ clearly says that whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It means that when Christ is in our life, just like a spring of water, he will burst forth. We cannot cover it. It will naturally overflow. It will come out. But sometimes Christians, just like the landowner, wants to cover up this spring. They're ashamed of it and they want to cover it. You know that when we cover the spring water, the results are devastating. When you cover spring water with dirt, it becomes mud.
Sometimes
When a Christian covers himself with dirt in order to hide the spring water, and one day it just bursts forth with all his sin, it becomes like mud. All the mud, all the dirty things come out. But it's okay. At some point, the water will cleanse the mud, the dirt. So what is the lesson for today? The first lesson is that just as Christ purposely went to the Samaritan woman to give her living water, Christ also came here purposely for you and me. It wasn't you and me who first approached Christ, but rather it was Him who first came to us. Christ intentionally, purposely came for you and me. Not only did Christ intentionally come to us, but He started everything. He was the one to initiate the conversation. When He saw the needs of the Samaritan woman, He used these needs and started the conversation with
her.
And He uses different methods to speak to different people. Remember in John chapter 3, what Christ spoke with to Nicodemus? Their conversation was entirely different because what the needs of Nicodemus were different from the needs of the Samaritan woman. The only thing that was the same is Him. Nicodemus needed Christ, the Samaritan also needed Christ, but the method, the ways and how they could obtain Christ was different. In the same way, when we communicate God's Word today, we have to use all available means, methods to share the gospel. There's not one single method. One method might work for one specific person, and we should use that method. But this method may not necessarily apply to another. I remember when I was young, the church had an evangelism explosion. That was very applicable for young Catholics. It was applicable for my generation. For my younger generation. Why? Because the first question is, if you were to die today, where will you go? But I cannot use that same question and ask it to my father. Dad, if you were to die today, where will you go? I would probably get slapped. But there is a different method to deal with it. In fact, if it was my dad, it would probably be dad that's going to the restaurant. And it has to be specific Chinese food. If it was spaghetti, he wouldn't go with you.
So dito tayo higi lang eso yao. Dito tayo suya so watang tiongkit zongzok e lang zong bosang pehu e lang eso yao suya so watang tiongkit.
So you must know the needs of the different people, the different skin colors, but Jesus is able to fulfill all of them. And when Jesus Christ is in our lives will be different. It won't be empty because Christ is in us and we will be like a spring. People can see it. If people don't see Christ in you, perhaps it's because you're covering Him with dirt. But one day they will see it, including the mud, the dirt. In my Facebook, I shared the post. It talks about a pastor who went to a difficult area. Please look at the article if you have my Facebook account. And it talks about how the things we do for Christ are not empty. My post talks about a missionary who went to a certain place and who thought that he didn't have any results, so he went. And in fact, towards the end of his life, he was very disappointed. He was depressed because he thought that his life didn't amount to anything. He died a long time. But lately, a group of people went to that place where he served to walk on the same path that the missionary went.
So
they wrote this article saying how they were surprised when they arrived at that area, there were a lot of churches. The missionary didn't know about this. But God knows. Perhaps the time when the missionary was there, no one believed his words. But his life was like a spring. It overflowed and blessed the people around him. If you research the place, all the names of the churches in that place, it's the same name. It's the name of the missionary. He didn't know. But God knows. God will use your life and mine to spread His spring. So today I want you to ask one question. Where does your satisfaction lie? Because if we're able to answer this question correctly, then we don't need to keep on encouraging you to serve God. Because you will naturally love and serve God on your own. But if you answer the question incorrectly, that has a large, it will affect you and me. Who is your satisfaction? If you answer it correctly, you will naturally love God. If you answer it incorrectly, then you need the gospel.
So,
So may God be our satisfaction, our joy. If you and I make God our joy,
then
that is true worship. True worship is having fulfillment and satisfaction in Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, as we approach the season of Christmas, when we remember what you gave up, what you sacrificed, how you suffered for us, O Lord, may we once again remember that you are our all, how you should be our all. In the coming year, O Lord, may you guide us and our church to better proclaim your word, to fulfill out your plans for us. In everything, we give thanks to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.